The Ticket.
Podcasts are brought to you in part by Lewis Jewelers, the official jeweler of The Ticket and proud partner of Michigan Athletics.
Back inside the MDN studios, Sports Talk 1050 WTK, The Ticket online at WTK.com. Sam has a house project, working hard on that one. He'll be back in the air chair tomorrow. Thanks to Scott Belford for helping me open up the 9 o'clock hour. But we're now joined by the newest member of the MichiganInsider.com team, Sam Seamover at 247 Sports, Alejandro Zuniga. Alejandro joins me now. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the Michigan Insider on the radio. How are you?
Ira, it is great to be here. I have heard your voice. I've heard Sam's voice. I've followed Scott Bell, tough act to follow. But it's a lot of fun to be here. It's a fun time to be following Michigan sports.
No question about it. So the first question I have to ask, though, I think anyone that's heard Sam talk about bringing you into the fold wants me to ask you this question because you were in Costa Rica. You look outside. You chose this.
I am staring out the window right now. I spent about 30 minutes shoveling yesterday, and I am realizing I'm going to have to do that again this morning. I recently bought a house, which means that there's no landlord to do it for me. I have to do this all myself. So I have some regrets, but no, I got to go down to Miami for college football playoff. I'm really excited to go up to the Breslin Center, watch Michigan State next weekend. You know, there's a lot to love about Costa Rica, and the tan that I once had was one of those things. But I'm happy to be back. Michigan's home, and it's good to be here.
Yeah, and that tan went away really quickly. But as you said, Michigan is home. You worked at the Daily. You're a Michigan guy through and through. And I know Sam is extremely happy to have you back on the beat. And I was extremely excited to see that not only were you back and not just covering Michigan men's basketball, which we're going to get to, but you've kind of dabbled into, in your first month on the job, dabbled your foot into just about everything. You mentioned you went down to cover some football. So you were down in Miami. You were you were in Indianapolis. So football, obviously, if you work for Sam Seam, you're covering football. We got that part. We know that. But you covered a little bit of hockey already, covered some women's basketball already, and, of course, the men's basketball team as well. And it's the women's basketball where I want to start with you. They've got a game tonight against Purdue, best start in program history. They're 16-2. And I was reading a bracketology on NCAA.com yesterday, and it has Michigan as a 2 seed in the bracketology, which it just got me thinking because if you're a 2 seed in the women's tournament, you host for 2 rounds. Michigan has never done that. And all these things that Michigan has never done that they're, maybe that they have the potential of doing this year. So as you mentioned, it's a great time to come back and cover Michigan women's basketball. You had a chance you went to the last game. You wrote a little primer, kind of catching everybody up on where things stand. So I kind of wanted your take as you jumped in to absorb this team, the Kim Barnes-Rico squad. What your thoughts on what they look like? What impresses you? Where you think they're going to go from here?
Well, first of all, I want to say that if you haven't been following Michigan women's basketball, it's the right time to start following Michigan women's basketball. You just mentioned all the firsts that have occurred. And let me rattle off a few here. They made their first Sweet 16 last year. They upset Tennessee to get to Baylor in the Sweet 16. Lost a tight game, but had a rematch against Baylor earlier this season. It was a top 5 Baylor team. And Michigan beat them. Michigan beat them without their star, Naz Hillman, in overtime. They won at Maryland for the first time in program history. That ended the longest active home winning streak in all of college basketball. They are off to their best start in program history, and obviously a game tonight against Purdue to keep rolling. But there is a ton to like about the program, whether you're starting with Kim Barnes-Rico, who has really built this up over a decade. You're looking at one of the best players in college basketball, Naz Hillman. You have an excellent freshman class and some younger players who are making contributions. It's a lot of fun to watch. And the reason I got out there was because you've got a top 10 team. You've got people who are going to start caring about this team very, very soon as they get into the end of the Big Ten season, into the NCAA tournament. Like you said, maybe hosting a couple games. It's time to start paying attention. So that's what I did.
And the game tonight, as we mentioned, Purdue, it's a 6 o'clock game. You can hear right here on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, The Ticket. Purdue in the bottom part of the Big Ten in the standings. So, from a fan perspective, from an outside looking in, this is one of those games where you should win. You're at home, you take care of business, and you move on. Kind of like their last game when they really blew out Wisconsin. But the next two after that, at Ohio State, and then you host Indiana a week from tonight. And those two teams are right around you in the standings. You win those two, you put yourself in the catbird seat and control your destiny to win the Big Ten with only a home and home with Iowa kind of being the real separator down the home stretch. where you truly would put yourself in that position if you're the women's basketball team. This is, we talk about big moments for the men's team, which we'll get to, where I was talking about that with Scott. We were talking about the game in Indiana yesterday, or the game coming up on Saturday at Michigan State. But this next two-game stretch for the women's team after tonight's game, and I know they won't overlook it, but we can have this conversation at Ohio State and then the home game against Indiana. That's as big a two-game stretch as this team may have ever had as a program. And if they win those things, they're really solidifying things.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Ira. That Ohio State game, it'll be a rematch. Michigan already played Ohio State this year. Michigan won pretty comfortably. It was a 19-point win, I believe, on New Year's Eve. But when you say that, you've got to remember that Ohio State was shorthanded. They had some COVID issues. So this will be a more, you know, full-strength matchup for both teams. And it's obviously, it's a rivalry. And if you're looking at someone like Naz Hillman, it might be her last chance to face Ohio State. We all remember her scoring 50 points last year against the Buckeyes. I mean, LeBron James remembers that, so we should remember that too. And then you look at Indiana. Indiana was kind of the cream of the crop in the Big Ten this year. You expect that to be, you know, you'd maybe expect them to have the edge over Michigan, except for that they just lost their leading scorer, Mackenzie Holmes. She has a knee issue. It sounds like she's going to be out for the rest of the regular season. That opens up the door for a team like Michigan, for a team like Ohio State, for a team like Iowa, that are right up there in the Big Ten standings. And Michigan right now, they're rounding into the home stretch. They're rounding into the toughest part of their schedule, but they're fully healthy. They've gotten players back from injuries themselves, like Amy Dilk. They've had players come back from COVID issues. Michigan's full strength. They're playing probably their best basketball of the season, and they've got an opportunity. They've never won the Big Ten. They have never won the Big Ten. And in a year that has been full of firsts, it's not that they're a shoo-in. And like I said, this is going to be, like you said, this is a tough two-game stretch. This is, you know, the meat of the Big Ten schedule right here. But they've got a shot.
I really want to go to the game on Thursday. It's impossible to get down to Columbus. It's too far to get down there and get back and the whole deal. There's a lot going on up here. But, man, I would to get that game on Thursday at Ohio State, because you say how even LeBron remembers that Naz had 50 points in the game. But if you ask Naz what she remembers about that game, she's going to tell you she remembers they lost.
Yeah, she is a competitor. And it was a lot of fun after the Wisconsin game a few days ago. I got to sit down with her, have a conversation, talk to her about the program that she and Kim Barnes-Zarico and all of the seniors have had the chance to build. And she doesn't focus on herself. It's what makes her a great team player. It's what makes her Michigan's leader, both from the stat sheet perspective, but also from a personality perspective, from being someone that the players look up to. Is that when you ask her about everything that she's done, she talks about everyone who came before her and the seniors that were on the Michigan program when she was a freshman and the example that they gave to her and how she's used that to try to be an inspiration to the freshmen, the people who are going to follow her.
And I agree. And I love the way that the young players, Cam Williams is a sophomore, Layla Phelan in particular, amongst the freshmen that have come in and added to this really deep rotation, this really deep squad. As they get ready, you said the meat of the Big Ten schedule. Game tonight, 6 o'clock. You can hear it right here on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, the ticket. Hope to see you out there at the Chrysler Center. I know it's snowing now. Hopefully the snow will dwindle enough so you can get out there and check out the game. Because we said, you're not going to want to miss this team. They're running out of opportunities to see a great team on the women's side of things. And I have moments. Like, I see the bracketology where I see that they're a two seed in the latest bracketology. And it makes me think about being a student and going and covering games and broadcasting on student radio games for Michigan back in the 90s. There was no history of Michigan women's basketball. The program, they had moments. They had seasons here or there, but there is no tradition. That's why when you talk about the first this, the first that over the last year and change, and they can continue to add to them, there's not a huge history and tradition of this. And I look back to the programs. I used to broadcast those games mainly because I just wanted the experience of doing games. But nobody actually went to the games. Nobody cared about calling the games because they weren't winning them. You just didn't to get the experience. Now, you know, people want to be at these games, and we've come a long way. And Kim is obviously a huge part of that. She's coached it up, but the players she's brought in, big part of that as well. And looking forward to seeing what they could do in the meat of the schedule, and looking forward to seeing more of your coverage on the Michigan women's basketball side of things. But, of course, you're covering the men as well. And yesterday, Alejandro, that game, That is the kind of game on the road that Hunter Dickinson needed, that this entire team needed to, as I like to say, kind of stack these things together to see if you can't build on what they were building on, even in the loss at Illinois, but in particular the win against Maryland. Now build on that one to the next one. Now can they keep stacking these things together and continue on the upward trajectory? It looks like they can. What do you think following the last couple of games? Because they looked really good yesterday.
It's almost hard to say. I absolutely think they can. This is something, the last three games have been really impressive. Every game has had something that you could point at and say that they've improved a lot. At the same time, though, those three games followed a month when they basically didn't play. So we saw a very disappointing start to the season. We saw their struggles in early December. And then they had winter break, they had COVID issues, they had the two games postponed. So we haven't really seen them a whole lot. And now you're getting some of the younger players stepping up into their roles. We're seeing Hunter Dickinson playing up to his ability. And the reason he's doing that is because everyone around him has stepped up their game and made it a little bit easier for him to take advantage of one-on-one matchups. You know, I think back to the Rutgers game where he finished a basket through a triple team. And yeah, he can do that. He's Hunter Dickinson. He has the ability, but that's not a high efficiency. That's not a high efficiency shot. And if he's doing that, then there's a problem, because if he's triple teamed, there are two guys open, and you need those guys to be hitting open shots.
One of the things that we saw in the game yesterday, and we've seen come out, it definitely looks different from before they had their brief COVID pause to now, is the defensive intensity. I don't know if it's even style as just much as they're just. Seems like they're locking up better. If they could play like that, right, the defense can trigger a lot too. That's a big part of getting your offense going, is getting some easy transition buckets. If you get some steals or whatever it might be, they forced, 8 turnovers in the game, had a few points off of those turnovers. Although Indiana actually had more points off turnovers than Michigan did in the game. But the defense in general, forcing not as good looks, that kind of thing. That's probably not great grammar, but forcing worse looks and doing those things. It looked like they... Again, stacking those things together, didn't give Maryland very many good looks, did not give Indiana that many good looks.
Yeah, it's a cliche, but it's all complementary basketball. You know, when we saw the game against Illinois with Jace Howard diving for that loose ball, kicking it out to Devontae Jones for a three. We saw yesterday against Indiana, Musa doing the same thing. You know, it was a loose ball between two Indiana players. He dove for it. Devontae dove for it. It became a jump ball, and it, you know, the next possession Michigan scored, they were up 14 with 4 minutes to go, and that was pretty much that. But everything complements each other. You look at a guy like Caleb Houston, he was not a player who was great on either side of the ball in November and December. You get a couple games where he's hitting some shots offensively, he all of a sudden looks better defensively too. He's staying on his man, he's better on rotations. You know, he's not making some of those same freshman mistakes he used to be making. And it's like that with the rest of the team. You get a good defensive possession, leads to some good offense, leads to some breakout opportunities. And then you score some buckets, and it gives you the opportunity to set up on defense. You know, where Michigan struggled yesterday against Indiana was when Indiana pushed the ball. Like you said, they got more fast break points than Michigan did. When Michigan had the opportunity to set up on defense, whether it was man-to-man, they mixed in some zone, they shut down the Hoosiers in a really tough road environment. And that's something that, you know, that's going to be very important in Breslin next weekend, to be honest.
No question about it. So what's your outlook this week? The game on Wednesday, Northwestern, 6:30 here at the Chrysler Center, a team that has gotten some on the road, right? They went to Michigan State and got a win. What are your, what's your outlook for that game? And then of course you do have the big game on Saturday up at the Breslin.
Hey, I'm a big soccer fan. And by that, I mean that I follow CONCACAF World Cup qualifying with a passion. And what you do to qualify for the World Cup is you take care of business at home and you do your best to get anything you can on the road. Michigan has sort of played itself into a corner with their lack of a quality win, of a statement win in the non-conference, with their struggles in December and with those postponed games that I really hope they make up, because they are rounding into form here, and two home games against Purdue and Michigan State are a great opportunity to get those wins. But you have to take care of business against Northwestern. It's probably the easiest game left on the schedule. And then you do what you can at Michigan State. You know, Michigan State's a very deep team. But Michigan all of a sudden has gotten those bench contributions that are going to be key on the road. You know, we saw it from Terrence Williams yesterday. You're going to need a Terrence Williams coming off the bench, getting 10 points and stemming the tide in the first half. You're going to need a performance like that, whether it's from him or someone else. You're going to need that in East Lansing. I think they can get it. I think it'll be a great game. And I can't wait, man. I'm so excited.
Yeah, it's a big week. And then I will say, I think the easiest game left in the schedule is coming up next Tuesday when Nebraska comes to town. The hardest part about that is all of us staying awake for a 9 o'clock game against Nebraska. That game should not be at 9 o'clock, but that's a conversation for another day. Alejandro, great stuff on the basketball beat. And you're also covering a little hockey as well. So what are your thoughts as Michigan? They were on the road this week. They had to split up in up at Minnesota. They're about to lose some of their guys to the Olympics for a few weeks. But this loaded hockey team, would have been your thoughts watching this hockey team as you came back into the fold, coming back to Ann Arbor?
Well, I'll say this is, if you haven't been following hockey, start following hockey. Right now, they are number one in pairwise. That means they are the top team in the country. They have the most impressive wins. They have some of the most impressive players. They are a ton of fun to watch. And I'll say this as someone who, you know, I can't skate. You know, you try to get me on ice, I fall down. I do not know what I'm doing out there. But hockey is a ton of fun to watch. It is fast paced, a lot of action. And Michigan has the skill players to be fun for anyone. You know, look at the last NHL draft. You've got Matty Beniers, Kent Johnson, four of the top five draft picks in the NHL draft are on this team. And you simply don't get that level of talent in college very often. Michigan isn't going to have it for the entire season because, as you said, they're going to lose some of those players to the Olympics. So if you've got a chance to go to Yost and see Michigan play, go do it. You know, they're the top team in the country. They have as good a chance as anyone to win the NCAA tournament. And, you know, in college hockey, nothing's ever a guarantee. But this is an outstanding team and so much fun to watch. And, you know, I go to Yost just because I want to watch them, to be honest. You know, sit up in the press box, you get a great view of the ice and see some really talented players do some really outstanding things.
Yep, just soak in the atmosphere. That's honestly, people ask me sometimes, like, you know, some of these games you can watch on TV. I'm like, yeah, but you don't get the atmosphere. It's not the same. You got to soak it. Yost, the Chrysler for a big game when it's packed, you got to soak in that atmosphere. There's no question about it. Alejandro, great stuff this morning. Keep up the great work on themichiganinsider.com as well, and we'll talk to you soon.
Ira, thank you. Have a good one.
Awesome. Thanks to Alejandro for joining me here on the show. We're going to wrap up the show on the other side of the break here on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, The Ticket.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.